This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Wednesday of Super Bowl week, BT, and we're going to start to turn our attention more toward the game and all that stuff as the week goes on here, but it just doesn't feel the same as it normally does. I don't know if that's because the shows aren't out there and we're not, you know, surrounded by it. You would think with a matchup like this with the Eagles and Chiefs, meaning that you got Patrick Mahomes looking to make more history, the Chiefs looking for a three-peat, you know, this is a rematch of a Super Bowl a couple years ago, it's Barkley and all that stuff. There are appealing storylines there, but I'm just not feeling the energy of Super Bowl week.
There's no juice here. There's no juice. And I got to be honest, I can't even really manufacture it. Like, I don't think I'm alone, and obviously you and I are on the same page with this. This is very, very odd, but I also think this is kind of reflective of the direction of the NFL. There's just no buzz. And I would understand a little bit more, Sal, if it was like Carolina and Jacksonville. You've got Mahomes, you've got two great fan bases, you've got, you know, fervent, crazy, lunatic fans, both with Kansas City and Philadelphia. And it just, I think there's a lot of problems with the NFL, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, because as soon as the game pops on, I don't care about the pregame stuff, I don't care about the commercials, I'll be totally immersed in the game once it starts.
Right.
Okay? So I am excited for the game. I'm not saying I'm not fired
you
up for the
game.
You
having a party or anything?
Yeah, what happens to be low key.
Yep.
Couple of our good friends coming over, that's it, nothing nuts, obviously I've got to watch the game for work, but we'll have a few people, and I'm looking forward to it, right? I really am looking forward to Sunday, but I think when you look at the NFL now in the year 2025, I think to a lot of people, and I don't agree with this, but I think some people actually think this, it feels rigged to some people. The quality of play has dropped off. It has dropped off a cliff. I think that there's just a lot of issues that have been mounting for a while that seem to be hitting ahead. The NFL right now seems as, I know this is crazy to say, seems as insignificant to me, as it has ever felt in my lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm there yet. I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying, because usually I'd be wrapped up in it, but I don't know if that's because, like I said, the shows aren't there, so Boomer and Gio, let's say, are usually there, and you're listening to them, and you get the feel of Super Bowl week. We're now distanced from it, which I think actually makes the shows better, right? Not being there, I think makes the shows better.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's that, so it's like breaking the tradition of normal Super Bowl week, which has me not as in the mode for the game. But the closer we get, and I listened to Phil on with them this morning, the closer we get, and thinking about the party, like, I love Super Bowl Sunday. It's a holiday.
Yep.
It's supposed to be fun. But from a sports talk perspective, where's the passion here with this game, with this matchup? Is it just because of your bets and your prop bets or the Super Bowl boxes? Like, it's more about the holiday and the game and the party and the event,
yep,
as opposed to the game, even with a matchup that is potentially historic with the Chiefs looking for their third straight. I mean, you could argue you can't really get much better. You could have gotten different. You could have had more unique storylines, Detroit, Buffalo, whatever. But, I mean, you got one of the greatest of all time in Patrick Mahomes, one of the great coaches of all time in Andy Reid, with an Eagles team with Saquon Barkley, our favorite running back here in this town, running for an MVP and all that stuff. Look at what Barkley's doing with the Eagles. Rematch from a couple years ago, trying to knock them off. I mean, it's an appealing matchup. So why? I don't get caught up in the ref stuff. I think that is a part of it.
Well,
but I think the sport is such a beast now because of the gambling. And if you take that out,
the NFL is not king. I mean, right. Betting is a massive part of this, and that's okay. That's always been baked in. Now we can just do it legally rather than making calls on the quarter before you go into the Garden to watch the Knicks back in the day or the Meadowlands. I mean, here's what I think.
Yeah.
I think the arrogance of the NFL is what's hurting them. I really do. And I love football. I love it. But I don't love this version of football, and I don't love the direction of the NFL. And what I mean by the arrogance, like, they think, right? They think, we talked about being out there at media, you know, yeah. Super Bowl. I've been to 12 or 13. It's overkill. Nobody cares about Anthony Munoz pushing joint pain relief or some 75-year-old Hall of Famer pushing ED pills. Nobody cares.
Paige Spryniak was making around yesterday.
Well, we might care about that. That's a little different. Paige can come on the show here. We'll have a chat with Paige Braddock, talk golf, talk everything. Right, that's good. Right. We want to talk to Paige. Yeah. But, like, the other stuff, it's so watered down. It's almost obtuse here at this point. And I think when I talk about the arrogance, like, they think in their minds, the NFL, that whether you're there or not, that we're going to talk about this every single day. No, we're going to talk about Brunson. We're going to talk about the Knicks. We're going to talk about St. John's a little later. We're going to talk about the Jets and their hirings. We're going to talk about Pete Alonso.
Right.
We care about other stuff. And the problem with the NFL, I think that, and I understood why they went back to it. I think, Sal, the week off hurts.
Yeah, me too. I think it's an excellent. I think it's an excellent point. I used to love it as a fan, from a fan's perspective.
Yes.
If your team's in it, you get to soak in it.
Oh yeah. Well, I wouldn't know, but yeah, I could imagine.
Bask in it for a couple of weeks.
Stretch it out a little bit.
It does hurt, and you know, you've been on this train the entire season, like, not loving the product. And I've talked about it, where the lack of preseason games now, the first 4 weeks of the season, maybe even more, are generally sloppy. And we've seen sloppy play carry out throughout the NFL season, with the practices being different, all those different things. But without preseason being the way that it is, really the first 4 weeks, you're seeing teams like kind of learn on the go, which I don't think is good for the product. But in this particular case with the Super Bowl, because that's a different conversation, right? The quality of play or lack thereof from the NFL overall, because we eat it up all every Saturday, every Sunday, whatever they're on, Thursday night, Monday night, we're consuming it all. But the week off after the championship Sunday, to me, it feels like the end of the season. And then you ramp it back up for a game which is a glorified exhibition in a neutral site, meaning no environment, and it means the most. Like, That to me has been going the wrong way for a while, and maybe as we start to move on, it even further, at least for me, like, just further distance itself, because I feel like with Mike and Chris back in the day, it used to mean more. The actual game means more, and we'll talk about Mahomes and his greatness and Reed and all that stuff when they win or if they lose, whatever, and judge them ultimately based on the result of this game, but it doesn't feel like it means as much to me anymore. The season has kind of concluded in my mind, and now we're just waiting for the game to have a party.
Well, think about this, Sal. So you talk about Mike and Chris, and, you know, the game used to feel different and bigger back then. I don't disagree. Now, is that because we were younger? Is that because we weren't in the business necessarily yet, and we were trying to break? Maybe there's a couple of different answers. I don't truly know the answer, but I've got a theory, and I don't think the NFL's alone here. Like, you think about the business of sports nowadays, right? What's the biggest story in the NBA? It's not who's going to win the championship. Right now, it's about AD and Doncic,
the trades.
It's about, is Kevin Durant going to get moved? What are the Knicks going to do? I mean, Brunson was a killer again last night, and I think, not diehard Knicks fans, I'm not talking to you, but I think in general, like, you know, the basketball fans who were in but not all in, they're like, all right, are the Knicks going to make a move? Like, that kind of usurps the games here. Think about the offseason for baseball, Juan Soto, every single day.
Right.
That got more attention than actually breaking down maybe some of the bullpen moves that was made in the World Series, right? And now, of course, Pete Alonso. Now, some people could say, well, maybe you did an hour too much on Pete yesterday. All right, that's fine. But either way, Pete Alonso, whether or not he's going to stay or go with the Mets, is a massive, massive story. And even with the NFL, it always seems to go back to the legacy stuff, more than, you know, third down execution, football stuff. The minds have been rewired of the sports fans, and I'm okay with that. I appreciate, I love that content. I love trades. I love speculatory stuff. I truly do. But
there's more drama there. It's a different story.
Yes, but I don't know that we're ever going, and I'm okay with this. I think I'm just pointing it out. I'm not even lamenting it. I think that the days of the game being paramount, I think it's over.
BT, I remember not only as a listener listening to Mike and Chris, but when I was working on the other side of the glass for Mike and leading up to the weeks, whether we were there at the Super Bowl or even just back here, you know, on the board, whatever, and taking calls all day about, oh, I think the Eagles' defense is going to get to Patrick Mahomes. Like, breaking down the minutiae of the matchups of the game, and it's just not like that anymore. Our attention spans are totally different.
Yep.
The way we consume products, the way we, you know, I really do think now, I teach my daughter, I don't teach her to bet, obviously, she's 3.5, but when I say, oh, football, she goes, football
with
daddy.
This could be interesting.
Yeah, no, football with daddy, football, and then, like, she'll do this thing, like, oh, hockey, like, she sees me wearing a Rangers shirt today, she'll go, hockey, let's go Rangers, or Mets shirt, let's go Mets. Mm. With football, it's not let's go Falcons, or it's let's go daddy's bets.
Yeah, but that's true.
That's who I root for on Sundays. I'm worried about my bets, assuming that I do bet on some of the games. I don't bet the way that I used to. I don't want to get reckless anymore. But
Me too.
The point is, I'm a football fan. I consume the product. I want to watch four games at once, potentially. Obviously, we lock into the Jets and Giants, but you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And these playoff games, and you're betting. That to me is what's kind of really taken center stage on this. It's about the bets and the way you want to play this game Sunday and how you want to enjoy it as opposed to the actual matchup.
By the way, watch how quickly little Sammy starts picking up on daddy happy, daddy angry.
Which is why
daddy won, daddy lost his bets. I'll tell you something else too. You know, and you made a really good point. I don't even know if you meant to make it to this degree, but you talk about, and we always talk about, obviously, we're so deep into it. Like, we reference it like it happened last week. Society's been sped up for 15, 20 years at this point, right? It's nothing new, right? But the sped up nature of society to have a week off is actually the worst possible thing, out of sight, out of mind.
Right, for a whole week.
Think about, we want to watch, like, what did we love about the Penguin? The Penguin, you couldn't binge that. That was
every
old school.
Week.
The ability to binge most of these shows, it's like, let me consume this, let me watch 3 in a row, 4 in a row. That's how I want to consume stuff. And then we consume football every single Sunday, every Monday, every Thursday, every Saturday as we get into December. And then, wait, let me get this straight. We got to wait a week now? And now we got to watch these dopes who shouldn't even be credentialed. I hate to sound like the guy, get off my lawn. I can't stand Media Day. These idiots who are dressed like clowns, who have no idea about football. Why? Well, I know the answer, so I'm going to ask it anyway, because it's about clicks and money. Why the hell are these idiots allowed to ask questions? Why are they credentialed for the Super Bowl?
Because I think the NFL actually likes that.
They do, and that's why I said it's a rhetorical question, because I know the answer.
I get it. They sit back and they say,
that's part of my frustration with the NFL.
The whole world is going to be focused on us, the clown show or not. It doesn't matter. We reign supreme. You're going to talk about the halftime show and the anthem and Media Day and Radio Row and all that stuff. And they feel like it's the biggest thing in the world. And maybe it is. But for us, it does not feel the same anymore. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now, if the Jets or Giants were ever to make that game, it would be the biggest thing in the world. Ray is in Shirley. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Appreciate you guys always being on. My favorite show by far on the Fan. I've actually had BT on my show before on Netcast. Shout out to you, BT. But if you just want to make a quick point,
nice.
I think it's in regard to what you guys are saying. Two quick things. I think, number one, stars being traded and moving teams are killing these sports. Look at the NBA, all-time low in television ratings this past season. I don't think it's good. They're having a franchise player where you look at is something to help these teams. Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants, going to Philly, I think it killed a lot of fans in regard to that. And then number two, also, my dad used to be a season ticket holder, believe it or not, for the Nets down in Jersey and with the Jets. And the ticket prices have gotten so crazy, especially when your team's good. Instead of having season tickets now, we're at home watching the games. And once your team's not involved, you're not forced to go to the games anymore. You're not obligated. Other things in life happen. And I think it's taking eyeballs away from the television.
But those are different.
And those are two reasons why I think are having big impact.
But those are different, Ray. And thank you for the call.
Thanks,
we appreciate checking in. Those are different as it pertains to the Super Bowl. We're not talking about everybody going to the Super Bowl.
True. You kind of branched out a little bit, but true.
And I don't even think, like, player movement. Like, you got the same guy in there with Patrick Mahomes again, with Andy Reid, and even though the Chiefs have had different guys. I mean, look, if the Chiefs still had Tyreek Hill, do you think it would be different, more exciting if they were that version of the Chiefs?
No. Now, listen, I do think they're a little... Well, they're significantly less explosive, right. So optically they're not as fun to watch. Maybe and that, I think there's a little Kansas City fatigue. I think that's part of it.
Saquon Barkley,
I think it's bigger than that.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley changing teams. Yeah, it's going to annoy Giant fans, but I don't think that's the reason why we feel like there's a lack of overall interest in the Super Bowl.
I felt like this for years.
Right,
I really have. Now don't get me wrong, like. When Sunday comes, and I'm fired up. I love Sundays. I will always love Sundays. I get the roast beef, the mozzarella, routine. I watch the Jets. I watch the Giants. My fantasy team gets its face kicked in. I lose a few bucks. I win a few bucks. The family, everybody's a football fan in my house. It really is. It's unifying. I do love Sundays, but I think I'm just less tolerant of the stuff around it.
Right.
And like the lead up, the dribs and drabs, I just don't care.
For 2 weeks. Like,
yes.
it's an actual turnoff. Now, here's, try to come up with a solution, right? How would you fix it? Because we all wish, I shouldn't say we all, you and I at least, wish that it went from Championship Sunday to Super Bowl. But you can't go from Championship Sunday to Super Bowl Sunday. Could you make it, like, Monday night? Could you make it a Thursday night? Like, is that, the time off, the 2 weeks feels like it's forever.
It's just too much. You lose sight of the storylines way.
But then how do you shorten that and still have the proper amount of time in between to
logistically,
do the game
you
right?
Mean,
yeah, well, logistically and also...
Well, they haven't always gone 2 weeks.
And by the way, do we factually know that this hurts or helps the sport? Like, we don't know.
From a viewership perspective, I don't know.
We're talking about you or I, we're over it. But we're also immersed in it every single day, where the majority of people maybe aren't.
Yep.
If the NFL had, statistics to back up it hurting viewership, like, millions of people are going to watch the game.
You know what, I'm not telling anybody not to. I'm going to be dialed in like a lunatic when the game starts. I'm not saying that. Listen, my evidence, my data is this. Could it be a little misleading? It could be. But I don't think it is, because I think it's a cross-section of people our age, the demographic of the NFL, and I always reference this. I think this is a very important societal experiment. I have conversations with people like us all the time at gyms, at fields, at everything. And like, to a man, everybody's like, nah, the NFL's not what it used to be. Yeah, I'm not that excited. Like, I feel like we get that with every sports, and that's a little disconcerting, but particularly the NFL, which seemed to be impenetrable, this force field of protection around the NFL. I feel like that's eroded. I can't prove it, but I think it's eroding a bit, Sal.
Frank is in Syosset. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. I got a different take on it. I'm very much into the game, very interested in the game. I have a couple of questions that go through my mind. I wanted to see how you guys feel about it. One question is Philly going to be as dominant against the Chiefs as they were against the Commanders? I mean, did the Commanders deserve to get as far as they did to play the Philly, because they just got blown out? Philly put up 55 points.
So
another question. What's that, BT?
No, I'm saying, you mean the Commanders didn't deserve to get there? I mean, the Giants won Super Bowls by being a wild card team with 9 wins. You get what you get.
Okay, no, I just question it because Philly was so dominant.
Gotcha.
Another question that goes through my mind is, are the Chiefs going to use Kelce in this game, because they didn't use him as much against the Bills? Whether he was double covered or not, I don't know. But I'm interested in the game, and I love the commercial.
But what about the 2 weeks leading up to it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, Frank, and thank you for the call. We're interested in the game as well, although I will say, as I said before...
Not as interested.
I do think it's a glorified exhibition. To me, Championship Sunday is the end of... And I felt this way for a long time, and I think it's even just gotten worse to the point that we've been talking about here. Championship Sunday is the last real football Sunday of the year. This game... And by the way, it's by design. Like, This is not for us. Talking about you, the listener. This is not for us. This is for everybody else. This is for my mother, my sister, my niece and nephew. Like, this game is a spectacle for the outsiders, not the people who've been watching 15 games every Sunday, Monday, Thursday for 18 weeks. And that, to me, is not a slap in the face, but, like, that's where I lose it, where it's about the halftime show and the media nonsense and all this stuff. I just want the game. And I wish that the game was being played at one of the home venues as opposed to a neutral site.
You nailed it. Honestly, you and I are in agreement on this, and I don't think we're alone. And yeah. It's not about the game. I want to make sure that, you know, we reiterate this. Nobody's getting on the air saying, I can't wait for the game.
Right.
It's all the other stuff, just the ancillary nonsense that I don't care about. I don't think that you guys care about as much as you used to. And it really does dilute the enjoyment of football a little bit.
Right. And the time off, just the way that they're doing it, to me, might need. And by the way, it's only going to get worse with expansion and all that stuff. The product is going to become even worse.
Yeah.
But yet we suck it up. And as long as we keep consuming it every Monday, Thursday, Sunday, Saturday, they're going to keep going bigger and bigger and bigger.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm Noah Eagle. Welcome to the London Monarchs and the New York Jets here today. Yeah. I mean, where are we going with this? What's the limits, dude?
That's what we need. Four more teams in Europe, and that'll really help the quality of play. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll continue with your calls. We'll get into the Johnnies and their big performance last night at the Garden. The Knicks, trade deadline stuff as well. We could revisit some of the Pete conversation that we had from yesterday. A lot to do. Just getting started on this Wednesday, BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. The road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. We've been talking about the Super Bowl to start and really just the week leading up to it. And you know, the other thing, BT, we kind of touched on it, but even more specifically, like, call me insensitive if you want, and I'm sure my wife would in this particular case, or maybe some others. I don't care about Travis Kelce being an uncle. I don't care about his relationship with Taylor Swift.
Not one bit.
I don't care about any of the players' personal lives or stories, how they got here, where they came from. I'm sorry, I don't care. I'm a sports fan who cares about the sporting event. I care about the game. Who wins and loses, who plays well, who doesn't. So all these other stories, and that's why I said before, like, my wife would care about that crap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's for her. Well, my mother, did you see that he's dating this? No, I don't care.
Sounded like a female Dice is what that sounded like.
Did you see that he was dating?
Well, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's what this whole week is about. And maybe the NFL loves it. Maybe we're in the minority. Maybe us as a whole, as sports fans, are doing it wrong. Maybe we should care about that stuff. I don't.
I don't either. Listen, I know you mean this as well, so. But, like, if there's a story, and I'm sure we'll get this at some point on Sunday, like somebody who overcomes cancer.
Yeah,
I know that you didn't mean that. I got you. The other stuff, I'm with you.
I
don't
Boomer
care.
Story, we talked about how much we love that episode with Boomer and his son that they did recently.
Yeah, but, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, so it's not that we're insensitive to that stuff in general. I'm talking about as it pertains to the Super Bowl.
Well, let me ask you this, because I do think, and we'll get back to the calls here, I think a lot of people will agree with us. Some obviously won't, and we want you, if you don't agree, certainly, I'm almost more interested in that. I think more people are probably in line with us, but whatever. You guys will determine that when you call. Let me ask you, do you think we've changed, meaning you and I, because we're very similar with that stuff,
right?
Have we changed more, or has the NFL changed more since we were younger?
I think it's a great point. I'd say probably I hate to cop out, but I think probably a combination of both.
I'm sure it's a little bit combo,
If I have to lean anything, way. I think it's we've changed more.
I think it's the NFL's changed more.
Interesting.
I do, because you and I have retained our passion for sports.
Right.
That hasn't changed. Like, a lot of people do this for a living. They kind of lose that, you know, what got them here. We love sports. We don't love the nonsense.
I don't mean that we've changed in our lack of love for it, but I do think, like, where I'm at now versus where I was in Super Bowl 33, whatever, when the Falcons were taking on the Broncos in 1998,
mm-hmm.
I was wearing a dog chain because Ray Buchanan wore it during media day, talking about underdogs chain. Like that. So, like, where I'm at from where I was in 1998 to versus where I am now is totally different. But I meant more that we as a society and our lack of attention span has changed significantly. Like, we didn't have the phones back then and the social media and every second updates and news, like, instantly like that. So it was different when you were consuming media day. It maybe meant a little bit more, or you saw a little bit less, where now it's like, boom, you get hit over the head left and right. Kelce this, Kelce that. I saw Paige Spraniak, or whatever you say your name.
Sporadic.
Sporadic with five different just on my timeline on X yesterday alone, five different people. That's one person on with five different people.
It's too much.
That's what I'm saying. So,
too much.
But back then, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, would that have been the case? Probably not.
No, there's an oversaturation now. And listen, the good thing is, just to be fair to the conversation, we have the option to tune this out. And what I'm telling everybody is, I have.
Yeah.
I have tuned this nonsense out.
But we can't because we're immersed in it. If we're looking for something else, you know, throughout the course of the night or the day, or trying to come up with storylines or find what's going on.
I buzz right through it, dude. I got
I know,
home.
But you still see it like you knew enough about it.
Well, no, of course we see it, but I don't consume it the way that I use. I'll give you a great example. So I get home from the Garden, and I know we'll do St. John's. Yeah. We're going to do a lot. We're going to take calls on St. John's. We'll do that later. St. John's fans, you're going to be able to. We're getting into it, all right? It was awesome win.
We'll do the
great
Johnny
stuff. But I get home from the Garden last night, and kids were asleep. I take a shower, go and kiss them goodnight. Jen's obviously up. I wanted to watch SNY Sports Night, right? Okay. I love it. I think they do a really good job. Nikki was doing it. It was just good. It was. Yeah, I get a little bit of everything. I'm sincerely a fan of the show.
Yep.
And I also, because, you know, when I'm doing the games, it's such a different vantage point. I want to see how it looks on TV, the Garden, because I'm jaded because I'm there. So right. I wanted to see it, right? So I'm watching Sports Night, and as I'm getting to Sports Night, I don't know if it was ESPN or the NFL Network, and I'm not trying to disparage the networks, but whatever it was, they were running like the media day. Sal, I didn't stop for a second.
Yeah.
I just zoomed right through it. I did not care.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a matter of fact, by the time I showered and did the thing with the kids and got in bed, Sports Night was not quite on yet. That starts at 10:30, but it was on at 11 because I had a Mets Hot Stove report on SNY. I actually watched the last 5 or 6 minutes of that leading into as a bridge to Sports Night, and I still zoom through the media day. So I don't watch it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Me neither, but you can't help but see it on the social media, and I guess that's kind of the point. But the game we're excited for. It just takes forever to get to it, and all the nonsense in between, to me, is such a turnoff at this point. The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. John is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
What's up, Johnny?
I agree with you guys. I got two points that I think. I think number one is, you know, NFL used to be great. You know, I'm 40, so I've been watching it since I was a kid with my father. But NFL was great because they were only, you can only watch it Sundays and then Monday nights. And then, you know, they slowly started doing it Thursday, and then now they're touching it on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, everybody called it years ago saying that they're just going to water it down, which I think they have. And I think it almost makes it feel like the NBA or NHL, where like you're going to see NFL almost every other night. And I think it used to be great when you can only see it once a week. And then as far as like the Super Bowl, I think what made Super Bowls great in the past was the matchups. You had like, you know, the Baltimore defense against the Giants, you know. Now the NFL is just all about scoring, going up and down the field. And I just almost, like, even every Sunday during the regular season, I know what I'm going to get. It's just going to be a shootout after shootout. And there was a lot of
except for the Jets and the Giants,
season.
Of course.
All right. Somehow the two New York teams are the only teams that can't move the football for the last decade.
Then it's a slow crawl to 13.
Yes. they kill it. I just know that probably the last Super Bowl, like, I'm not saying I love defensive games, but sometimes you want to see that dominant defense against the offense. And I just know that you're not going to see that anymore. It's just going to be, you know, a 30.
I think it's a great point, John, and thank you for the call. And the way that I would say it, you know, if you use the baseball home runs as an analogy, if everybody hit 50 home runs or when they were doing that, it makes hitting 50 home runs less special. Like when we were growing up, 35 home runs, that was a big deal. Guys that would hit 35 homers.
Yep.
Then it started to become, in the steroid era, 40, 50, 60. Like when guys are, when McGuire hit 72 and Bonds at 73, it made it less special than when Maris hit 61 because Maris was the first one to do it. So that got out of control. So if everybody is throwing, if Sam Darnold is throwing for 5 touchdowns on Sunday, then when Tom Brady or Mahomes does it, it's a little less.
It's diluted. Special.
So if everybody's scoring 35, 40 points, I like it. I'm with the caller, John, that I like a game where it's hard to move the football because the defense is good, not because your offense sucks, but the defense is on par, making it challenging. The way the rules are set up, BT, the officiating, it placates to the offensive strength, and that makes it easier to score, which to me dilutes it a little bit.
You know, it's funny, talking about the home run leaders back in the day and how it is diluted, and Booney was clowning you for the sticker book that you had. I had it, by the way, too. But you go back to those or the back of baseball cards, and it doesn't mean it was necessarily better. It was just more rare, which I think for some of us made it better, where, you know, maybe Mike Schmidt had 38 home runs and Reggie had 37 and Gorman Thomas had 35. I'm just throwing out some old names. Yeah. And that was really the ceiling. That was the benchmark. Now, I will be fair to this, too. I also do think that because the Jets and the Giants have been so horrid for so long that we are soured on the NFL. And I'll give you a good example. Like, if the Knicks of today, right, and we'll do a little bit Knicks later, maybe trade for Durant, trade deadline tomorrow,
Ian
big
Begley.
Win, Brunson.
We'll have Begley coming on. What time did you say? 12:20, right?
I think it's 12:20. Okay, yeah. Yep, Ian from SNY, if the Knicks will make a trade here. And Brunson was money down the stretch. But if the Knicks were like that, what would Isaiah or QB Brown before they got Patrick Ewing or just a bad team or any other coach this century, basically, and they were on pace to win 25 games, I think my gripes about the NBA, which I'm very open about, I think the NBA sucks right now. But because I love the Knicks and because the Knicks are very exciting and very good, I tolerate it and I enjoy the Knicks. Whereas, and maybe my lack of tolerance or acceptance for the direction of the game is muted a little bit because the Knicks are good, exciting, and relevant. Maybe, I'm just throwing it out there to be fair, maybe if the Jets and the Giants were a little more exciting and relevant and well-functioning, then my distaste for the NFL wouldn't be so center or top of mind. But I don't know. That's just a theory. I think I'm just very disenchanted with the NFL.
I think you might have just hit the nail on the head with that because I remember for years with the Knicks when they were so bad for the better part of 20 years, I just cared a lot less about the NBA. If at all, like, I didn't care. The Knicks were so bad, that was my care. When the Knicks were good in the 90s, and now that they're better now, I do care more about the league. I'm not watching the Warriors or whatever, breaking down all those matchups the way that I used to, but I do have, like, I have more of an interest in what goes on with the trade deadline, all that stuff, because it's relevant to the Knicks who are trying to win a championship. The Jets and Giants have been so bad for so long that maybe it does hurt our interest overall in the product outside of New York, which is what we care about. And if they were both good, we'd be more into it and focused on the other teams. I don't know. I think that that's
just a thought.
I think it's a big point, potentially a big part of that. Joe D is calling from Queens. What's up, Joe D?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. First time caller.
All right, Joe.
I have a suggestion about the week between the Super Bowl that I think could help. There used to be something called the Playoff Bowl. It was before the Super Bowl. It was kind of like a third place game. The two runners up in the conference, or the, you know, after the championship game, the teams that were third and fourth would play a game, and the winner of the, you know, the Playoff Bowl, they wouldn't get a whole lot. But what if we changed that and modernized it and made that third and fourth place game the week preceding the Super Bowl? And the winner of that game, you have to give them some reason and give people a reason to watch.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise it's just an exhibition. What's the incentive there? Go ahead.
A high draft pick. You get these teams are one big player away. Oh, we should play with it, but these teams are one big player away from making a change.
Well, let me ask you this, Joe. Hold on a sec, Joe. Yeah. First of all, I appreciate the uniqueness of the thought. I didn't even know that that happened. I don't know what year that was. Okay, I appreciate being informed there. I think we all do. But think about this. So last week, let's say the Bills and the Commanders play a game, and it's for a higher slot in the draft. I mean, are we getting gimmicky? What are we doing just to create juice? Is it that desperate?
No, I think it keeps interest because it's something meaningful.
Wouldn't keep my interest.
I do like the idea, though, Joe D, and thank you for the call. Not that exact idea, and like BT said, we appreciate the creativity and thoughtfulness behind that. I like the idea of having a meaningful game. Obviously, the Pro Bowl would have been ideal, but you know, you couldn't get a more meaningless game than that. I like the idea of having a meaningful game in between to keep the momentum going. I just don't know how you go from the ultimate in championship games, then a game that's, no matter what it is, it's going to be less than the championship games and less than the game that's going to follow it, and meaning the Super Bowl. How do you, like, what type of game are we talking about?
It's a game that I'm not interested in. That's what we're talking about, honestly.
Well, I mean,
what does it mean? I mean, you're not going to be, whoever wins that cannot win the championship.
You know, I think this is also a bigger conversation. We've had this about tanking in sports. I hate the idea of tanking, and I hate that all these teams, well, even Net fans, and not that we care about the Nets, so I'm trying to bring them into the conversation, but like the majority of Net fans right now want their team to lose.
Getting a little hot. They won two straight. They say stop winning. You get Cooper flagged.
Right, so think about where we're at as a sports society, where fandom, where you're rooting for your team, in this particular case, Net fans, rooting for your team to lose, and even with a lottery in place, just to have a better chance. There's got to be something done about that. That is going to do significant damage to sports over the long haul. I already think we're starting to see it.
I think it already has.
Yeah, fan base is starting to fight with each other in season. We saw it with the Giants this year. Like, you should never go into a season, which should be the most valuable time of year for a fan, and root for your team to lose for whatever reason. I don't care if you don't have a chance to win a championship. Like, you should never be openly rooting for that. So much so that I think that maybe the incentive should be quite the opposite. Whereas the better you do in the regular season, the better pick you have.
Flip everything.
Well, or something, some kind of incentive to
show up and put forth a decent
every
effort.
Every single night.
Well, but here's the thing. I think that the players do. And listen, I do fundamentally disagree. And I've said this many times. I don't care what anybody says. People can mock me. People could say I'm a less than fan. That's fine. I got enough stripes on this blazer as a Jet fan, as a Knick fan. I'm fine. Whatever people, I really don't care. But if it's a meaningless game and it's slightly increased, and I don't mean going into the season losing. If it's December 3rd and my team has one win and I got a chance to get a quarterback, I'm hoping we lose.
No matter
what anybody says, that's me the rest of my life.
Understood. And I can't necessarily blame you. I could say why I think it should be different, and I think that that's sad as a fan, but I can't, like, logically blame you or others for that, which is why I think the sport needs to change something, because that should not be the case. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue with the conversation on the other side. 888 888- 808-1019. And we'll have the Johnny's conversation coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll get into the Knicks. We'll have Ian Begley give us some insight as to the potential trades for the Knicks as the trade deadline is approaching. We'll have that tomorrow. So Begley today at 12:20. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Wednesday afternoon, or Wednesday morning, I should say, at this point. We'll have a little Johnny's talk coming up in about 10 minutes. Get back to the calls here, BT. Talking Super Bowl and maybe why it doesn't feel the same for us at this particular point. The game, sure, looking forward to the game, but just the weeks leading up to it, it seems like there's a more of a lack of interest from the diehard sports fans. Josh is calling from Far Rockaway. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up? First of all, regarding the last caller, I don't like the gimmicks they tried at MLB with the All-Star game. They tried the Pro Bowl. Nobody cares. I mean, I'm just thinking also, I think that a big reason is oversaturation. I mean, if it was Bills, Lions, I think America would be more into it. But we live in an age where we have, like, I think you guys kind of hit the nail on the head. We have every bit of information we need. Everyone has Twitter. There's so much oversaturation. So, like, we don't need this media stuff. When I was a kid and the Patriots were in it 3 out of 4 years, we just sucked it up because we loved it. You read Sports Illustrated. I mean, it was a whole different era back then, but why do we need this circus?
Yeah, I think that that's a huge part of it, Josh, and thank you for the call. The fact that we now have information at our fingertips every second of the day, whereas Media Day back then used to be special, and then it's just gotten, because, let's say, 5, 10 years ago, some reporter got attention for saying something crazy at Media Week or whatever, Media Day, then everybody, every idiot that wants attention goes out there the next year and follows, and they ask these questions, and it's about them.
And it works.
And them getting it. Yeah, I mean,
it
I
works.
Guess for some.
They get what they want. And the NFL allows them to show up. They keep giving them credentials. So, I mean, I hate it, but it works from their perspective. What their mission is, they're successful.
Yeah.
And that's just, make a mockery of it.
It's a turnoff for us. I mean, if we were Eagles or Chiefs fans, it'd be a different story.
Well, of course.
I know, but here's the, or like we said, if the Jets or Giants were in, it'd be a different story. We'd be, you know, soaking it all in.
And we'd be there, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. This is a legend. History in the making with Mahomes looking for a three-peat.
I know.
And we're just like, yeah, we'll get to the game on Thursday and Friday. And I'm looking forward to it, sure, but like, you see what I'm saying? It's not like this is an awful matchup.
I know what you mean. It's not, well, that's why I said it's not like Carolina-Jacksonville.
Yeah,
Let me throw this at you, Sal. This just hit me, all right? And maybe it's just a lot of different things that have led up to a lack of enthusiasm, not for Sunday, but for this stuff. Now,
right.
Do you think there's something to be said for the fact that Brady just retired and now the next GOAT is already upon us?
Yes.
Think about that.
Yes, 100%, because it plays to what we were talking about before with the offense. If everybody's scoring 40, then it takes away from it. If everybody's hitting 45, 50 home runs, takes away from it. If the guy that comes right after Brady can win more championships, it dilutes what Brady did.
Think about how long we had to watch while Montana went to 4 Super Bowls, won them all. So the Montana in the 80s all the way to Brady in the 2000s and beyond, the 2010s as well. So you've got that element there. You look at Michael Jordan, and then, now I don't think LeBron can shine his shoes. Some disagree, but I mean, LeBron's amazing. You can at least have the conversation. I'm just an MJ guy, but the MJ to LeBron James gap is ridiculous.
Right.
Think about the gap from whether it's maybe Babe Ruth or Willie Mays to Griffey Jr. or, you know, whomever else is positioned to be the greatest player. But like, it's just, it's right. They just shoved down our throat. It's not Mahomes' fault. Yeah. It's just odd timing.
I think it's an excellent point. And I was going to say exactly what you just said. It's nobody's fault.
No.
But the timing of it 1,000% hurts the accomplishments. Because the guy just did it. You just did it. Matter of fact, Brady and Mahomes faced off in the Super Bowl. So, yeah.
I got another one for you, Sal. Think about, and it's sad to see his mom passed away, but yesterday, Tiger Woods. Boy, we almost like grew up with Tiger's mom and dad if you watch golf back then, but she did pass away, and I was saddened by that. He had a really nice heartfelt note. But the gap, like Jack Nicklaus won his last major at the age of 46 in 1986. That was the great Jack Nicklaus, right? And then Tiger Woods, of course, burst on the scene. 97, I think, is when he really started going nuts. And then obviously after that, but when he collected his first few majors, by the time the real conversation, because a lot of guys with 4 and 5 majors, by the time the conversation, boy, can Tiger actually eclipse Jack? You know, that was like 05, 06, 07. That's 30 years after 86.
Right.
Imagine if you know, now Tiger's just about done, clearly. But imagine, you know, Scottie Scheffler in 2 years has 12 majors. It's like, oh, we just went through this. Like, you need to let it breathe, man.
You need at least 10, maybe 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
To really let it sink in. I think it's an excellent point. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, we come back. We'll continue with your calls, but also get to the Johnnies. I know my partner is itching to talk some Johnnies after last night. Huge win. We'll do that and take your calls on it as well. 888-808-1019.
Here's the difference. I'm always itching to talk Johnnies. The difference is everybody else is itching to talk Johnnies. I don't have to force it on you. All right, we're going to get to that next. Get ready, St. John's fans.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Our target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.